Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up, everybody? Glad that you are with me on this Tuesday night. It's the Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. So it is July 9th. There is really not a whole lot going on in the Ole Miss football world. Talked about recruiting last time out, so that is covered. If you missed that, go back and check out the previous episode. I know there's some baseball things that you guys might want to get to in the comments, but nothing really going on football-wise. We are now 6 days away from SEC Media Days, which, by the way, I appreciated you guys giving me a shout-out for correctly predicting who's going to go to Media Days for Ole Miss. But I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little bit insulted because am I really right so very infrequently to where picking Media Day attendees is something that you guys feel like I deserve praise for? Oh, man. I am very much kidding. But good choices for Ole Miss, as we talked about last time as well. Looking forward to hearing from all of them in Dallas next week. But until then, we've got a couple more shows to do. And I came up with what I think is a pretty good topic. We did it on the radio show and it worked out well. At least I think it did. And I'm going to bring it to you guys as well. And quite frankly, I am not in love with this list. I want to make a ton of alterations, or maybe I don't want to make any alterations at all. You guys might have a different iteration. And if you do, I would love for you guys to chime in and be a part of it, because this is the most subjective of things. But I do think it'll be fun to talk about tonight. So tonight's topic, tonight's lead, the thing that we are going to be breaking down tonight is the top 10 most important players for Ole Miss if they're going to reach their goals in 2024. So not necessarily the 10 best players on the team. I think that these are the 10 most important players if Ole Miss is going to reach their goals or meet their goals. These 10 guys, I think, are most important for them to get to that place. And there's going to be some caveats and there's going to be some waffling and stuff like that. But we're going to have some fun tonight. So appreciate you guys being here. Don't forget to follow me on social media if you're listening in podcast form at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. It's how you spell the last name. It's terrible, I know. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search my name. You can find me there. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. So if you miss a live here, it gets uploaded in audio form like at 6 o'clock the next morning is when I put it up. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review. And before we get into it, this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries are unavoidable in life. We hope they don't happen to you, but sometimes they simply just do. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, I know the person that can give you the best help, and it's the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, Saltillo, Mississippi. He will not only discuss your legal options, but he will build a relationship with you. It'll be a personal experience with the Gregory Law Firm. 662-397-9799. That's the phone number, 662-397-9799. 9799. Save that number. You may not need it today. You probably very likely don't need it today, but unfortunately that day may come. And again, personal injury, small business or contract disputes, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report live. So here are my top 10 most important players for Ole Miss in 2024. I'm going to go 10 down to 1. I already don't love this list, especially because, like, for example, I don't have Jared Ivey or J.J. Pegues on this list. And I don't like that I don't have Jared Ivey or J.J. Pegues on this list, because Ole Miss cannot, no team can reach their potential without having especially defensive linemen like those two on their team. Nobody can. But I left them off the list. And anyway, so we'll start with number 10. Santarian Perkins is number 10. I actually like what I think Ole Miss has at linebacker. Not only is it Perkins, but Dudley shined in the bowl game, and there's a lot of buzz. A lot of people are talking about him right now. You have the Chris Paul, the Poopall transfer from Arkansas. There is a lot to like right now. Kari Coleman returns. There's a lot to like about the potential anyway of the linebacker room. But I think the guy with the most upside in that room, again, I know a lot of people are talking about Dudley, but you saw when comfortable, when confident, what Santarian Perkins can do. And that was as a true freshman, making the transition from playing not even the highest level of high school football, but it doesn't even matter if you're playing the highest level of high school football. Making that transition from high school, immediately getting thrust into the SEC as probably a slightly underweight linebacker, but you saw the physical ability. You saw the closing speed. You saw what he can be. He was a five-star for a reason, and you saw that five-star potential. And I know that line play is the most important, but man, what great linebacker play can do for a defense, especially when it's somebody as talented as him paired with what seemingly is the rest of what I like at that position right now. But he's the guy seemingly with the highest upside. And look, you're not winning championships unless you're really good at linebacker. I mean, find me a championship team in football that didn't have high quality linebacker play. And I think it starts with him. So he's number 10 for me. Santarian Perkins, the 10th most important player for Ole Miss in 2024. I think that he needs to take a step forward for Ole Miss, especially for that defense to be as good as they can be. He's got to take another step. And I think he's going to, but we of course have to see. Number 9 already is a cop-out. I'm already at a cop-out on number 9 because I wrote down here some running back, one running back, because I mean, they're replacing Quinshon Judkins. You guys know that by now. You know the story and everything that comes with it. There was a lot of drama, but there was a lot of production. And where Quinshon was especially productive was runs, yards after contact. He was really, really, really good there. And frankly, he masked some of the issues at times on the offensive line because of how difficult he was going to bring down. It seems like, and we have no idea yet, because Rashad Amos, for example, we don't know what that transition is going to be like from Miami of Ohio to the SEC. Like, it is a big jump. We don't know who's going to get the most carries right now. Is it going to be Bentley? Is it going to be Amos? Is it going to be Parrish? When Diggs is healthy, is it going to be him? I mean, we don't know. We have to see it first before we can really project. The way that they have built this room should lead you to think that they're going to take a more by committee approach than what they did last year, where Quinshon got the overwhelming majority of carries. But when it's the fourth quarter and they're in Baton Rouge and they're up by 4 or whatever, or they're up by 3, they're trying to ice a game and it's 3rd and whatever, who's the running back on the field? Which one of these guys is going to step up and become the most reliable back? Again, I know that there's a lot of upside with each of them. You know what Bentley can do if he stays healthy, but there's a question mark. You know what Parrish can do, but can he give you tough yards? You don't know what Amos can do at this level, but you know what the potential there is. We don't know what the health status of Diggs is yet. So there's a lot to like about all these guys, but there's still nothing that is proven as a, this is the guy that's going to get the ball when they need a yard on third down to ice a game. And so who is that guy going to be? It doesn't matter which one of them it's going to be, but they need highly productive running backs. They need that. They had one a year ago. He's gone. Who of this group is going to step up? And maybe it's multiple, but who out of this group is going to step up and be that, I'm giving you the football. I know you're going to get me that yard that I need. And they're going to ice the game by putting the ball in your hands. Who's going to be that guy? I don't know. But they need one of these guys to step up and become that guy. Number eight for me, going defense with this one, Trey Amos. Trey Amos is somebody that, I mean, we talked about it before. Lane Kiffin gave an answer in the spring that I thought was really telling about why they were so heavy in pursuit of him, a defensive back from Alabama that did not start a year ago, not in a full-time capacity anyway, but when he played, he was very, very, very good. Multiple years in that system, you know what you're going to get from an Alabama guy, and the ceiling for him is incredibly high. At least that's what it seems like. Thrust into a starting role now, and what are you if you don't have quality cornerback play? Ole Miss, I think, last year was fine at defensive back, but it certainly can be better. And, you know, seemingly they're plugging in two portal guys to start at defensive back. And Amos is one, and of course, Isaiah Hamilton, the other, the Houston transfer. You could have picked one or the other to put in this spot, I think. But they needed to be better there. And will these portal guys work out? We'll see. But Trey Amos is somebody that I think can be that guy, showed you that he is that guy. Can he be consistently that guy? Can you put him, say, on an island and be able to get more creative without having to protect the back end of your secondary? So I think that he is extremely important, and he's number eight. Number seven, sticking with the secondary, the most underrated players we talked about a few weeks ago, possibly on the entire Ole Miss team, Trey Washington led the team in tackles a year ago. Look, I'm going to get repetitive because that's all I do, but you need to be good everywhere to win a championship, right? And I think Ole Miss is, frankly, there's a chance that they're really good at safety with Washington and Saunders coming back, and they got Banks and Key Lawrence out of the transfer portal. I like what they have at safety, but none of them were more productive than that of Trey Washington. And again, team's leading tackler, you can't win championships without being good everywhere. And I think that they have a chance to be really good at safety. Washington needs to be that same guy again, sure tackler in the right spot, playmaker in the back end of that defense. He can do it. We'll see if the whole unit is as good as I think it might be. Number six, Princely Umanmielen. Princely Umanmielen is a physical freak. I know he's also coming off of a shoulder injury as well, but I think everything is on track for him to at least be available when the schedule does not read Furman or Middle Tennessee. But if you are going to take that next step as a program, if Ole Miss is going to go from 10-win team that can beat Penn State in, say, the first round of the playoffs to a team that can compete for an SEC or a national championship, they need Princely Umanmielen and then somebody else here in a little bit to be who they can be. I've seen a lot of film breakdowns lately talking about how there is still a lot of room for improvement for Princely. People have talked about his motor. I saw one draft analyst just gush over his physical ability and speed and strength and all of that. Did say that there's a lot of room for improvement and maybe the change of scenery would be good for him. We'll see if it is. Ole Miss, when they have had a guy like this in the past, you know how it has changed their defenses. Think about what Sam Williams was able to do for that Ole Miss defense. Umanmielen needs to have a Sam Williams type impact and type season if they're going to get better, take that step forward, and have a defense that can take them from good to great. They need a pass rusher like him with that physical ability to click and take that step forward. Number five, Caden Priestcorn. You could probably move him up even higher, but as you guys know, the tight end in this offense, when they have just been serviceable at tight end, when they've been serviceable, it makes such a difference in this offense. You've seen it multiple times now, and now you've seen it with Priestcorn, who I think is beyond serviceable. I think he's much more than serviceable. But when he's healthy, that next level, that dynamic that he creates for that offense when he's healthy changes the ceiling of this football team. He got hurt in training camp, was trying to battle back through that injury, and you know, wasn't 100% when he played early in the season, but as he got healthier and healthier, you saw what he can do, and he can open up that offense. His presence is extremely important for Ole Miss to reach their ceiling offensively. They've got the wide receivers. We'll see about running back. They certainly have the potential there. Do they have the tight end room? The answer is absolutely yes, and it's because Caden Priestcorn, especially when healthy, you can see what he is, and it is possibly very, very special. Number four, Diego Pounds. And number four could have been a cop-out as well, where I put the four transfer offensive linemen, but none more important than the left tackle, none more important than protecting Jackson Dart's blind side. I know they've got Jaden Williams there, and that's important because he played and did good things for Ole Miss last year. But as we talk about often, you saw the gap between Ole Miss and Georgia. If they're going to close that gap, somebody like Diego Pounds needs to come in and be what you hope that he can be, what he has been, albeit in a lesser conference in the ACC. Not that much lesser, but still a lesser conference. Ole Miss needed to upgrade on the offensive line. On paper, they did. They need that paper to become reality. So, again, could have put any of the portal guys on there, but none more important than the assumed left tackle. Number three, Walter Nolan. You guys know this. I am not reinventing the wheel here. What a dominating defensive tackle can do, what a feared defensive tackle can do for a defense by just being disruptive. You don't have to make tackles to make plays. And somebody like Walter Nolan may not be the team's leading tackler or the team's leading sack maker, but somebody with his physical ability can be disruptive to the point where he could be feared by other offenses. And Ole Miss has had good defensive tackles over the years, a lot of really good defensive tackles over the years. They haven't had many Walter Nolans. I mean, even Robert Kimdichie, whose effort and mindset at times were questionable, but his presence on the field struck fear into opponents. The scouting report mentioned him first, I would guarantee it, every single week because of how physically disruptive he could have been. Walter Nolan has the tools to be that guy. He needs to be that guy. You can't win championships without guys like that. Ole Miss hasn't had many guys like that. When they have, you've seen what it's done to defenses. Number two and number one are the most obvious. It's Trey Harris, number two, Jackson Dart, number one. It goes without saying with number one, we've talked about Jackson Dart a lot. The core, the heart and soul of that football team, he's why a lot of the portal guys are there. If he takes another step forward this season, he'll be a Heisman contender. He could leave Ole Miss as an all-time great, so that's obvious number one. He is the most important player for Ole Miss this year. But Trey Harris, I know that I'm not beating a dead horse, or maybe that is the expression. I've talked about Trey Harris a lot lately. He had a bad injury last year and still put up ridiculous numbers. I love everything about his game. Maybe lacks like the high-end speed, but I mean, doesn't drop the ball, catches it in traffic, is physical. People are talking about Juice Wells and Deion Smith and all this stuff, and I understand why, but give me Trey Harris over anybody else almost in the country just because the consistency, the physicality, knowing that not only can he battle through injury but thrive despite being injured. Imagine if he has a year, knock on wood, fully healthy. I think that he is next in that line of Ole Miss wide receivers. You've had Mingo recently get drafted. He's in Carolina now. Elijah Moore, AJ, DK, Dante Moncrief, Treadwell. I think he's next. And I still, despite the fan base loving him and knowing him, I don't think that he gets enough credit for what he was able to do a year ago and what he can be for this team in 2024. So not having the lines of scrimmage on one or two might not be the smartest thing in the world, but that combination of Dart Harris is one that I don't think gets talked about enough in college football circles. And it does get talked about a lot. I just think that there is a chance that those two guys can be really, really special if, again, knock on wood, they're able to stay healthy. So there's my list again. I appreciate you guys being here as well. But it's Perkins, a running back, Trey Amos, Washington, Umanmielen, Priest, Corn, Pounds, Nolan, Harris, Dart. That is my top 10 most important players for Ole Miss in 2024. We'll get to your comments right after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. They also have local loan servicing and decision making. So if you need a loan, it's somebody you sit down with face to face. You don't get on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It is just simply somebody that you will get to know, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. To the comments we go. I know this is a football-titled show, but the last hour for Ole Miss baseball has been quite the circus. So did anything else happen besides Doyle and Fisher ending up at Tennessee? They got a junior college pitcher and what should be the backup catcher. But is there something else that I missed besides Doyle and Fisher going to Tennessee? That really stinks. They were the best pitcher and the best hitter on a really bad team. And they were a couple of the few bright spots, and seeing them off to Tennessee and Vitello is, it's gotta be humbling, for Ole Miss, but that's the current state of the programs. And look, I know, that they were tampered with, but, that's what it takes to win. I know that there are rumors circulating about how much money they've been offered. It's a lot of money. So that's a factor too. But their departure, I mean, if you want to say that it's all about money, here's a problem with that. And I've already made some people mad with my stance on this. When you say, or when you talk about just money and that it's only about money or it's only about tampering and Vitello tampered or they got offered this amount of money. Probably true. I mean, I'm not going to argue against you. There's no doubt in my mind that Tennessee tampered with them. No doubt. I'd bet my car on it. I'd also bet my car that they were offered a lot of money to go there. But when you only talk about those two things, it absolves the program of other factors included in why players are leaving. If everything else was good, if everything else was in order, that the talent that they are able to bring in is being maximized to its fullest potential, and the only thing that they're missing is talent, then you can talk to me about, well, they need more money in NIL or tampering. We can talk about those things in isolation, but the program is not being maximized. And so when you talk about, well, it's just about money, it's not just about money. It's not. It is a development issue. Is it even a culture issue? The program is in right now in very bad shape. They don't have to remain this way. They can pull themselves out of it. There is some talent. They have had some good pickups. Now, I know one of them is a draft risk. I have no idea who the hell is going to pitch for that team. That's deeply concerning. The pitching staff at the moment is very, very concerning. But they've done, they've gotten a couple nice portal pickups. I like Furness a lot. I think his mentality is really good for a program that's kind of in the gutter right now. Luke Hill is back. He ended up having a nice season. You know, there's a lot of potential with Uttermark. Smithwick, I think, can be a really good hitter. Really stunk behind the plate, but still, I mean, there's stuff there, right? So they don't have to remain this way. But when the conversation is just about money, you are excusing the other problems with the program. And there are other problems with the program. They're not developing pitchers. The hitters are not getting better. It's all bad. Everything's bad. They were horrible defensively. They're the worst defensive team in the SEC. They were one of the worst pitching teams, if not the worst pitching team in the SEC. And they were at near the bottom in hitting. If not for Andrew Fisher, they probably would have been at the bottom. It's the last 2 years have been all bad. It's not just, man, they don't have enough money, and that's the only issue. It's like some people just want to take something as complex as a once proud program losing the most games in the SEC in the last 2 years combined as, well, it's just money. It's just money. They need more money. They need more NIL. They need more NIL. They probably do if they want to keep up with Texas A&M. But is anybody asking for that right now? They're just asking for competence, and they haven't been competent. It's absolving the program of the other problems that exist when you only want to talk about money. And for some reason, that does bother some people, I suppose. But that's the truth. There are other things going on besides Vitello tampered and Tennessee offered more money. There's other problems with the program. There's internal problems. And we'll see. We will see. But you shouldn't have been surprised that both of them went off to Tennessee. But anyway. The Uttermark stuff just made you roll your eyes. Yeah, I saw that Twitter thread. College kids, man. They're weird sometimes. If I asked you a five-year outlook for baseball, what's my thought? Because you have serious concerns that they fall into irrelevancy. Well, if they miss the tournament again, they're getting a new coach. So, five-year outlook, that's really tough, not knowing who that would be. I think that, frankly, Ole Miss baseball, it would still be a very attractive job. They would have a really good list of candidates if that day were to come. Or if that day doesn't come, it means Mike Bianco turned it around and they got back on track. So that's a good thing too. But one of two things is happening in 2025. They're getting back in the postseason, which would mean that they would overachieve relative to expectations. That's a good thing. Or they're making a coaching change. At least you think they should. Ole Miss baseball is an attractive job. Now, the SEC is tough. It's getting better, but it's still an attractive job. It'll pay very well. It'll have NIL support. All that. Ask me in a year. Give me the 9 starting guys on each line of scrimmage. If they're great, then Ole Miss is a championship contender. It doesn't matter how good your skill players are if you can't block. Fact check true. Dart, Priestcorn, Amos, Harris, Hamilton, Nolan, Pegues, Umanmielen, Warren, and Micah Pettis. I might change the order up, but quick list. Appreciate that, David. It's a good list. It is a good one. You'd also have Centarian Perkins on your list. Met him and his parents last summer at Char and Jackson. Good man and family. Bought his jersey as well. Awesome. Man, that one sack against Alabama was like eye-popping. Like, whoa, wait, where the hell did this guy come from? Kind of stuff. You wouldn't have a running back on your list because you think every other position on offense can take the stress off of that position. It can. Kiffin knows how Parrish plays. My guess is Bentley and Henry Parrish are the two starting backs. Amos is the slugger backup guy. I could be wrong here, but I think Dart is going to run a lot more this year. You should hope that he runs less to protect his body, in my opinion. Parrish would be the running back for you. He is proven. Very glad they changed the rules for on-field coaches and analysts. I feel like that helps Ole Miss a lot. It does. Although, Why make that change? I would love to know, like, what the genesis of that proposal was. But yeah, Ole Miss's analyst team is really good right now. It's really, really good. And, you know, I know what State fans say about the guy, but having Zach Arnett being able to coach your defense during games as well at practice, that's a really, really, really good thing. You have a high-level defensive coordinator, quality analyst that can now assist in coaching. There's not very many Zach Arnetts on analyst staffs around college football. He especially stands out to me. You would like to see Dart run less and throw more, mainly for injury purposes. Yeah. Found out last night a Marine brother of yours took his own life. Huge Oklahoma fan, so we had a plan to meet up for the game. Big shout out to Daniel Sapp, awesome Marine and a good man overall. That is, man, I'm really sad to hear that. It is something that, even though mental health is now becoming more and more discussed and people are more comfortable sharing it, it's still something that people don't talk about enough. And as we've learned, I mean, you had a professional golfer guy on the PGA Tour. I mean, at the top of his career. Success doesn't change that. And, you know, if you're not alone, if you feel like that, I've been there. So for whatever it's worth to you, you're not alone. Please reach out. Do not hesitate. They're throwing it 60-40 this year. You're going to beat that drum all offseason, and then you're going to come back like in week six and tell me how wrong I was for thinking that they still are more run-based. That's fine. I'm wrong all the time. Can they just wrap the whole team in bubble wrap until the Kentucky game? Because injuries were brutal last year, especially early on. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Most important players for next season are whatever 11 are on the field on defense for any given play. Zero worries basically anywhere on offense. But if the defense is 20% better, there's no ceiling. Calling it now, they get more than 4 pick sixes next year. I like that. I like the bold predictions. American Soccer News, Indy 11 from USL knocked Atlanta United out of the U.S. Open Cup. What a great tournament that is. Just an awesome tournament. Why have we not seen the announcement on Greg Berhalter yet? I mean, I guess it's coming tomorrow. I thought it was supposed to come today, but I'm officially concerned. What are they waiting on? Unless they're waiting to do a firing and hiring tandem announcement, that'd be great. That's not what's going to happen, but anyway. Been seeing some predictions start online for a lot of teams. Ole Miss tends to be getting a lot of 10-2 in the media and 9-3 by fans. People have Georgia and LSU as automatic losses. And also talk about South Carolina and Florida. Well, I mean, it is the SEC. You know, upsets happen, things like that. But if this team stays healthy and goes 9-3, it's a massive disappointment. It just is. You think Walter Nolan is on your list of most important? He needs to be as advertised for them to make a run. Absolutely. Could he be the Robert Kimdichie type with a better motor and no off-the-field weirdness? He certainly can. He can. I mean, I guess Kimdichie's trying to or is getting back into football, but just – it never seemed like he loved it, you know? And as talented as he was, once you get to the highest level, talent can't take you anywhere anymore. But, yeah, Walter Nolan can be that guy. Some people think that he's a first-round pick. So he's got to prove it. He's got to be more consistent. But I can't help but wonder if the improved culture is going to help a guy like him and Princely. Clearly, there were issues with Jimbo's Texas A&M, and clearly there are issues at Florida. And when you've got culture problems, it can compound into having lacking buy-in and things of that nature. So change of scenery might just be good for these guys. It was great for Malik Heath, for example. So just please don't use Nolan as a running back like Robert. No, Lane Kiffin's not stupid. I know this is a top 10 that you say for this year. What would be my top 10 overlooked players that could make the year special? Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. So you're talking about overlooked players that can make a year special. Xavien Harris on the defensive line is somebody that would be overlooked. He's, I don't think anyway, going to be a starter, but you need guys like him if you're going to win a championship. So that's one. TJ Dudley, not getting talked about enough, I think has a real chance to be special. Let's see. Who else? DaQuan Wright, talked about him before. Again, I'm picking backups because we have talked at length about all of the starters 100 times, and we'll do it more. But having depth in the tight end room can really help this team to survive some issues for sure. Everybody talks about Ivy. Everybody talks about Pegues already. John Saunders is a good one. Yeah, and Banks may be getting a little overlooked. Caden Lee, that's a good one as well. That Memphis game still haunts your dreams. Easily one of the worst losses I've ever seen. Classic freeze moment. Memphis and that LSU game. There's a difference between losing and losing in the ways in which they lost those two games. Been reminiscing about the end of the freeze era through Matt Luke to where we are now, and it's really a sight to behold. Could you imagine me telling you at the end of the 2018 season where you would be today? Think about that. Sure, they got tampered with and offered a lot of money, but the program, i.e. coaches, are in shambles. That's why they left first and foremost. Careful. Trey Washington, Perkins, Harris, Pounds, Nolan, Princely, Bentley, Priestcorn, Harris, Dart in that order. That's a good list, William. I like it. It's crazy how A&M had a 10-year head start on Texas and the SEC, yet it feels like their program is already behind Texas. It's because they are. So they're already behind. They won't use Nolan at running back. They will use JJ instead. It's so different. It is very different. You're completely out on baseball. Why should you be bought in? If I'm a player, why the hell would I play at Ole Miss? It's a terrible program right now, and most of the SEC passed them. What a remarkable difference. Take a snapshot of Tennessee baseball 6 years ago and Ole Miss baseball 6 years ago, and then look at them, what has happened today. Only good news about baseball is you can see Tim and Jacob at the Braves Stadium for cheap this week. Yeah, just hope you don't have to go to the bathroom. Ugh. It's a shame. The way they're going out there is a real shame, honestly. What they've allowed to happen there is a shame. But yeah, if you guys are in town, go see them play. That'll be great. Elko's going to play in the majors soon, very soon. You feel like Ole Miss State and Vanderbilt are all going to take a backseat in the hierarchy of SEC baseball going forward? Ole Miss and Mississippi State should not. I get it with Vanderbilt, just there's fewer people to support it in the way it needs to be supported from that perspective. But there is no reason for Ole Miss and State to fall behind everybody else in the SEC. No reason for that. You understand putting stadium expansions on the back burner, but punting a year on baseball feels irresponsible. We're in a free fall, and it could have been prevented. I understand that. And I don't think that Ole Miss is punting baseball. Some people think that Keith Carter has replaced baseball with basketball, and he's all in on basketball and doesn't care about baseball. That's not true. The university, the town, baseball is too important for both of them, beyond the revenue that it generates or does not generate for the athletic department. Baseball is too important for the way they recruit regular students. It's too important for the town, et cetera, et cetera. Fan base, everything. It's too important. They're not punting it. They couldn't afford to make a change. And yes, it is their own fault. But that's why. They're not giving up on baseball. Keith Carter's not giving up on baseball. It's just hamstrung by a bad contract that they wrote. But that's the situation. And it just so happens that that runs up against when they're having to cut over $20 million from their budget because of a settlement. If that settlement doesn't happen, maybe we're having a different conversation. But on top of all of it, they're having to cut, you know, a fifth of their budget. That's tough to do. So if they only make the postseason and nothing else, is that worth keeping Bianco another year? Because the buyout doesn't go down that much. It's just kicking the can down the road. I do think if he makes the postseason, his job is safe. Yes. Top five storylines I'm most excited about at SEC Media Days. Horns down, if that's going to be a penalty or not. A few things, you know, really looking forward to hearing Kiffin and hearing Dart, especially because I don't know what Kiffin's going to give us. He's pretty good on that main stage, but how they're handling the pressure of expectations like they've never had before. Obviously, the inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma, that's big. That's really big. I know it's already been kind of beaten to death, but it's still really big. Let's see. I mean, for me and for us on the radio show, it's Jeff Lebby. Let's see. Ole Miss handling expectations. Texas, Oklahoma joining the SEC. Lebby because it's pertinent to my day job interest. And if the horns down is going to be a penalty or not. There's your five. Oh, gosh. Top three replacements if next year goes poorly. Bakic at Clemson, number one, probably. I have to see, though. Those things change rather quickly, but I still think that would be my number one. What does he make? So this claims he makes $850,000. You could almost double his salary without breaking a sweat. Well, he's up over $1 million now. Never mind. But still, you could give him a rather significant salary increase. Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. Deborah at Alabama. Shit, didn't even think about that one. Nick Saban's not there anymore. That might be number one. No, there's no Nick Saban there for the first time in forever. Has anyone looked at the difference between Pegues' stats and Nolan's stats from last year? Nolan had half a sack more in the same TFLs and five less tackles than Pegues. This is going to sound like I'm knocking Pegues. I'm not. I'm not at all. There's a reason one of them is a seven-figure defensive tackle that everybody in the country wanted when he hit the transfer portal. Stats, especially for defensive tackles, can lie a little bit as well. No, there's no backing out on the boat. That's still happening. No, I have not. I'm not backed out on the boat. What am I hearing about the development of the culture of putting new players and old ones together for a successful season? I mean, the coaches can only do so much. It starts with players, and from everything that everybody has been told, everything that you hear out of that program, both, you know, the behind the scenes stuff and also anything from the players in their interviews, there is a really good locker room culture led by their quarterback that has helped that acclimation feel so less daunting than you would think it would be. And most of their impactful portal players joined before spring practice anyway. The spring portal, they did not add much, because most of everything they needed was already there. So it sounds like they kind of found a sweet spot going into last season anyway, but that they have a really stable and strong locker room culture that apparently it's quite easy to acclimate into. Little man deserves at least a 5-minute segment. He is passed the heck out right now. He had a big day today. Well, that's exactly the point there. You said Pegues has only played defensive line for 2 years. He was a tight end before, and he was the primary double team target. Nolan has more upside, but teams can't focus on both. That should be, in a perfect world, the beauty of what they have built on the defensive line. Because if you want to, you know, focus on stopping Princely, you have your tackle and maybe your running back cheating over on that side to help your tackle. Well, then you've got Jared Ivey on the other side, one-on-one, right? If you're going to double Nolan, that means – so you're demonstrating exactly why they should be a really, really good defensive front, because I don't think that you can focus on just stopping one guy. Teams like Arkansas State and South Carolina should be overwhelmed by this Ole Miss defensive line. They should. Lane calls plays for the players he has on the field. If he has an air raid offense, he will throw it. Run will be second fiddle all year. I'm telling you, you're going to make me eat crow 6 weeks in. I will have to believe it when I see it. So Elko and Gonzo will be playing in Jackson Thursday. I think they're here all weekend. Arkansas punted on football. By comparison, Ole Miss is still very invested in the upcoming baseball season. That's how bad the football is in the Ozarks right now. Not kidding. The college football video game's coming out during media days. You're going to have to wait 2 days to play it. Hey Dad is taking Friday of next week off just to play that game all day. Saban has an office in the athletic building, but may not be there very often. I mean, he could be there every day, but he won't be at media days. It's a totally different world. Yeah, so I have, I guess, the old generation Xbox One, and I have no plans to upgrade it for now, so you're going to have to tell me what the game's like, because I am in no position to play it at the moment. So I'm going to have to lean on you to tell me what the experience is like and all that stuff. But anyway, appreciate you guys being here. I know, you know, we're in the dead of summer, a lot of repetitive content here, but that's just kind of how it is. I appreciate you guys nonetheless. Just a reminder. So the flights were decided today. So I'm flying to Dallas instead of driving. No show on Sunday because I will literally be in the air on Sunday night. We will go Monday after. We will go Monday after the after Ole Miss makes their rounds and things like that. So we will do that on Monday. So anyway, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you on Thursday. Y'all have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.